So today we're talking about fishing, and I thought, how appropriate, just tell a fishing story. So this is a fishing story. A man was fishing on a lake, but he didn't have a fishing license. It was near the end of the day, and he pulled in a lot of fish. He had 2 bucket loads of fish. They were swimming around in the bucket. He was so pleased with himself. And he thought, he was in a nice, secure, secluded spot. Surely the game warden would never come by. So he's getting ready, he's got his line in the water, and all of a sudden he feels a tap on the shoulder. Sure enough, there's the game warden. The game warden said, "Man, do you have a license to catch all those fish?" The man looked up at the game warden and said, "No, sir, I don't, but these are my pet fish." Game warden said, "Pet fish?" Yes, sir, Mr. Game Warden, every night I bring them here. I let them see the lake. I put them in the lake. They swim around for about a half an hour. I whistle. They come back, jump back in the bucket, and I take them home." Game warden says, "No way. No fish can do that. Show it to me." So the man said, "Okay." He dumped the fish into the lake. And they waited. Game warden said, "Okay. What's going to happen?" The man looked at him and said, "What do you mean, what's going to happen?" "Well, when are you going to call them back?" The man goes, "Call who back?" The game warden said, "Your fish." He said, "What fish? I don't have any fish." So I tell that story to you because today's story is about a fishing. Before we get to that, let me just highlight the fact that this sermon during the season of Epiphany, which is from the end of Christmas season, that's January 6th, all the way through the beginning of Lent, which is now going to be March 6th, that's when Ash Wednesday starts. We're looking at who Jesus is. In the grand scheme of things, we use that name a lot, the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. What does that mean when we say He's Lord, He's Christ, He's Savior, He's the right-hand man of God? What does that mean? So we've been looking at that. Today we're looking at what power does He have over the natural, physical world that surrounds us. To do this, we have to go with Jesus to the Gennesaret Sea. And you're thinking, whoa, what is that? Where is He at? The Gennesaret Sea is actually the Sea of Galilee, or the Tiberian Sea. Had 3 names. Had 3 names based on where you were standing and how you looked at it. If you were on the plain, which was west, I mean the flat surface, looking towards it, you'd call it the Gennesaret Sea, because that was the name of the plain that led up to the sea that was over there. If you were in the county, you're looking at it and say, oh, it's the Sea of Galilee, named after the county of Galilee. And if you wanted to impress the current Caesar, you'd say it was the Tiberian Sea, named after Caesar Tiberius, right? Now you think, wait a second, what are you trying to tell me, Pastor Mark? In fact, some people have said this is why the Bible is suspect, because we have the same name, or different names for the same event, same body of water. That could never happen today. Really. When I first got here, 27 years ago, that's when they decided to rename all the streets here in Washington County. I don't know if y'all remember that. It was chaos. Me trying to find church members' homes on streets that were now renamed. In fact, this road out here used to be called Sheridan, and now it was then named Donaldson. There were no maps out at the time for me to find people's homes. So I was trying to find a place, and I was talking to a church member, and I said, "You know the road that goes from Frederick into Hagerstown? I think that's Route 40. And the person said, "Oh, no, no, that's a dual highway." I said, "You know, the one that goes, when it hits Hagerstown, it splits, comes Washington Street, Frederick, isn't that 40? "No, no, that's the dual highway." "Well, what about when it gets on the other side and heads to Clear Spring? That's still 40, right? Also known as the National Road?" "No, no, that's the dual highway." So it's interesting how we have different names for the same road, whether it's 40, the dual highway, Washington Street, Frederick Street, National Pike, whatever you want to call it. So does that make our thoughts suspect? No. Just like this event today is on the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Gennesaret Sea, also known as the Tiberian Sea. Now, interestingly enough, here on this moment, Jesus has made a shift in his teaching. Previous to this, if you remember in Luke chapter 4, he was teaching in the synagogue. And what did they do when he was teaching? They threw him out. So angry with him, they almost stoned him. And so Jesus then says, you know what? I'm going to teach in the church, yes, but now I'm going to teach outside of the church. And he now is taking his message to the masses. Some who are spiritual in nature, some who are not spiritual in nature. Some who knew the way of Judaism, some who didn't know the way of Judaism. But now he's taking his message out to all the people. This speaks about us. That we're not only to share our message here among people who know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. We're to take our message out there to our co-workers, our family members, those who don't know Jesus. We're to share the good news of the gospel. Well, in this moment that Jesus teaching to the masses, it got so big, he decided to move his pulpit or his teaching area. He got in the boat and had Simon push him out into the lake. This is a natural occurrence. When we were there a year ago now, that is a very pure acoustical arrangement. The Sea of Galilee sits like in a bowl, little plain off to the west side. But it sits in a bowl. In fact, we were there and you could hear someone far off speaking as if they were standing right beside you. So it's natural for Jesus then to move out into the boat and then teach to the people on the shore. We don't know what he was teaching. It could have been a variation off the Sermon on the Mount, because that's right nearby. It could have been a variation off the Sermon on the Plain. That's real nearby too. It could have been something we read earlier in the Gospel of Luke. But regardless of what it was, we know the impact. That people realized this was a person who knew what he was speaking about. Understood at the very core and depth of the message. Because he was the author of the message. And then in order to prove that he understood what he was saying, he performed a miracle. In order to demonstrate that God is love, he showed that physically to them in the great catch. To demonstrate that love has power, he wanted to show that through him, love truly has power. To confirm the teaching, he asked Peter to go out fishing. To push out into the deep. To confirm that what he was saying was really filled with power. You know, before we get to what Peter's reaction is, one of the things Jesus asks all of us to do is to push out into the deep. Into areas that sometimes are not comfortable. Areas that sometimes are push us to our limits. Jesus sometimes asks us to try something great for God. We're to reach out to those who don't know and to share the good news. And we're to do so in a listening format. Our world today, we've lost the ability to listen. Oh my goodness, as soon as someone expresses an opinion, arguments come right back at that person. We're called to do it in a listening format. To hear. To hear where a person's concern is, and then share the good news. That's pushing out into the deep. One of the ways in which we push out into the deep is we're to swim with another person. A person who's struggling with life. We're to come alongside of them and be their buddy. And whether it be they've lost a loved one, or they're struggling with fear, or they don't know where their future's going. Their children are troublesome. Their parents are troublesome. Their spouse is trouble. Whatever their issue is, we're to swim with them to help them stand emotionally. We're to wade out into another person's grief to comfort them in the middle of their pain. We're to wade out into the deep to make a difference in another person's life. Whether it be their fear, whether it be societies against us, we're to push out. That's where Jesus calls us to go. And yet, we respond like Peter does. Even though Jesus calls us again and again, we respond like Peter did. How'd Peter respond? He gave an argument. Lord, whoa, I've tried this. It failed. It can't possibly succeed now. That's impossible. And we do the same thing in our modern day times. Oh, I'm not talking to that person. They're kind of strange. Or they smell really weird. Or their grief is too big for me. Or I'm too small. I'm inadequate. We give argument after argument. I don't have the answers. I'm afraid. It's too much. It costs me too much. too much energy, too much change. They're hopeless. And I don't want to change them. You know, it looks right from the start. The story's about a miraculous catch. It's about a deeper level of confirmation of who Jesus is. That his teaching is paired up with the miracles. That the love of God is stronger than our arguments. The love of God is deeper than our fear. The love of God is bigger than whatever situation we find ourselves in. Because we have a God who saves and a God who cares. So Peter relents. And you know, one of the things I love doing about Scripture, what would this look like? Our grandson, we only have one grandson, that's Brian's son, Garrett. Whenever you ask him to do something he doesn't want to do, it's interesting watching him. I don't know where he learned this, but you ask him to do something like, you've got to wash your hands after. He goes, puts his head down like this, his shoulders slump all the way down, he goes, okay, and starts, I'm like, where he got it? It's the cutest thing. It's hard not to laugh at him. But I can just see Peter doing this. Okay, Lord, let's push out. We know it's going to fail. It's already failed. We're going out anyway. I can just see Peter doing this. But Peter did it after Jesus asked. And this is one of the miracles of the story. One of the miracles Peter learns is that when you give yourself to God, even with your doubt, even with your fear, God will do something great. When you try something because you love God, even in your love that small or that big, God will do something great for you. Even though you think you're fallible and you're faulty, God will work a miracle through you. That's the other part of this story we tend not to see. That as we force ourselves to do what is biblically right, God blesses that. Peter cast the net. The fish came. Peter reluctantly obeyed. God blessed him. This is the important aspect. Sidebar of this story is when Peter obeyed, when he did what Jesus asked, he became a reluctant hero. That's a whole nother sermon series. All those reluctant heroes and heroines of the Bible. But they did exactly what God asked them to do. Even though they had arguments, they did what God asked them to do. And then they saw the miracle of the overflow of God's grace. Peter saw it in the overflow of the nets, and he saw how God had touched them through it. So what does this tell us, this overflow of the nets? It tells us first and foremost that Jesus Christ is Lord over creation. He who was there in Genesis chapter 1, remember 1:26 in the creation of humans? We get a taste of him there. Because God said, let us make the human in our image. Not let me. It's let us. We get a taste. Christ was there. And in the Gospel of John, John tells us what this means eternally in terms of, and this is John 1:1-3, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And through Him, all things came into being. That the Word, Jesus, is also Lord over creation. And the beauty of this incredible catch, is a verifiable fact. Not only did Peter see it, but his partners, James and John, they saw it. And not only Peter, James and John saw it, but the people on the hillside, they watched this incredible catch. They saw the drama unfold, and they saw Jesus being Lord over creation. Now, the last part of this is, what's the response to a miracle? How should we respond? Peter responds as humans do. We realize, I'm in the presence of greatness. Not just greatness, incredibleness. And Peter falls to his knees, and he says, I'm a sinner, you're the Lord. That's the end result of a miracle. That we realize Jesus is holier, greater, grander than us, and thus that's what we're striving for. He's the one to which we owe our worship and our homage. Miracles over nature is a demonstration that Jesus is Lord, Lord over His creation. So the end result given to us, so we can give glory to God. Let me close with a story. We have three kids. Two of them were born one time. Those are our twins. One of them's the youngest. We've oftentimes said if the youngest was born first, we'd have one child. He was that hard for the first 6 years of his life. It was really unique. Maybe because he had older brothers. I don't know. But of our twins, Kevin was, well, they were both small. I mean, Annette's not a very big person. So she carried Kevin at, he was born just under 5 pounds, and Brian was born just over 5 pounds. And it was a very excitable time. Within the first 3 months now, we knew there was a problem. Because Brian, his body was one size, but his head was a different size. It was bigger. And we couldn't quite figure out what was going on, so we mentioned to our pediatrician, there's a problem here. Pediatrician said, let's monitor it. So for 3 months we did. His body, still normal size. His head, abnormal. Too big. So the pediatrician sent us on to a neurosurgeon. And the neurosurgeon did the appropriate test and found out that Brian's head was large because between his brain, here's his brain, and between the skull was a layer of water that was abnormally too big. So he had this layer of water went all the way around his brain, which forced his head to be bigger and then, of course, sat there. We all have water between our brain and our skull, but not this much. And so as a result of that, Brian couldn't turn his head. It was so hard to watch him. It was so heartbreaking. Kevin crawling, Brian could barely turn. There were many times in which there was a sound and all you could see his eyes. We had to turn his head until he got strong enough to turn his head. It was very heartbreaking to see that. We would go back to the neurosurgeon every month to have Brian tested. Every month. And he'd do the little, he did that through that little hole in the brain, the fundus, whatever it is. And he found out every month, yep, he'd show us the chart, there's the water. And he told us the problem with this was, this is what the neurosurgeon said, the water can only go two places, stay there, or go inside the brain, which then would force the brain to not grow. So either outside the brain doesn't grow or inside the brain doesn't grow. And we're like, ooh. He says in rare cases, it gets absorbed back into the system and the brain moves into that cavity, but it's pretty rare. So month after month, we did this. And every month, we'd take little Brian with us and they'd run the test. And he'd be sitting there in Annette's arms and my arms. And the doctor would say, yeah, hasn't changed, still got the water there. And so we prayed. We had the church we were at in Virginia Beach, they prayed. The people that were in, had family members in other churches, they prayed. Everyone prayed. Prayed for something to happen to this water. We went in, it was about month six we were going in. And we walked in and the doctor's shaking his head. And when you shake his head, you know, it's bad news usually. And he puts up the two, the month before and the month current. And he said for us to look at it. Well, to me, I mean, it looks like some little kid played with colors. I mean, I can't tell what that is. And he says, it's gone. And he said, what do you mean it's gone? The water. It just went away. And the brain amazingly filled that space in 1 month's time. Doctor had no answer for it. But we did. The same Jesus who walked on the water, the same Jesus who had Peter pulling the big fish, is the same Jesus who has power over this little boy in terms of his creation. So we shared that with the neurosurgeon. His response to us was, well, I don't know about that. But it's gone. And so my wife, you know, don't ever say that to my wife. Because she then shared, no, this is a miracle. This is God giving us a miracle. And he sat there and he listened to her. I mean, how do you not listen to Annette? Let's be fair. He listened to her. I mean, she's such a dear. I mean, let's be fair, you know. And she listened to her, and she witnessed to him. And I don't know whatever happened with him, but we saw a miracle that day. An incredible miracle. And this is how Jesus impacts our life. He asks us to do something great. We loved our little boy as he was. And do something great, and miracles occur. And the miracle may be that God gives us strength to deal with the situation. The miracle may be that God brings a different situation in. The miracle may be an overflow of blessings so that you could always deal with what you have. The miracle is a variety of ways God touches us. But Jesus is the one who has power over this. He's the one that can touch us so that we can be the ones then to witness what a great blessing God has poured out into our life. God asks us to go out into the deep. Know that Jesus will be there with you. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God. No matter what we face, you'll be there with us and for us. No matter what we have to handle, you will be there to help us, draw us together deeper to you, closer to you, and then pour your blessings out as we're faithful to the fact that we are your people. Thank you, we can do it together. We don't have to do this alone. We don't have to stand in the midst of all the troubles and do that without the help of this body, without the help of the church. We thank you for that, Lord God. What a gift to know our Savior, who has power over nature. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.